Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Promised Land, and do you want to know something funny from the very, very beginning of this episode? I just recorded the entire show, uploaded it, released it, and it had no sound because my mute button was on my microphone. I feel like an idiot. I don't have anyone to produce it or help me out or back check it. I was a little bit too careless in thinking that I did everything right, and what do you know, I've now released on Apple, Spotify, and audio platforms an episode with no sound. So if you're coming back to this one, you've had another notification saying, hey, I've just seen that this episode's come through and it didn't have sound last time. Well, yeah, that's completely my fault. I'm very, very sorry. I wanted to record a Q&A episode with all the stuff that's been happening around United over the last few days, and I thought it was a good episode as well. I actually thought it was I thought I spoke quite well, answered a few of your questions. Really appreciate the questions, by the way. Anyway, let's get on with it. It's been a minute. I'm into this. I released an episode with no audio. Hopefully this one has audio. YouTube as well. If you subscribe on YouTube, you wouldn't have seen that this happened because I put the audio out first and the YouTube was uploading at the time. And then I realized, hey, there's no sound on this. But anyway, there's sound on this one. So I'm Scott from the Promised Land podcast, talking all things Manchester United this week. Ruben Amorim's in. Ruud van Nistelrooy has been let go, unfortunately, sadly. But look, I'll talk about that today. But I think today's show is about answering your questions. I've asked for some questions. Look through the comments of recent episodes, and I can put a show together. Hey, I just recorded a show and I thought it was pretty good, but I'll have to do it again. So thanks so much. And look, I really appreciate all the questions, all the feedback, all the positive wishes and everything like that. So thanks so much, everyone. I'll do my best today to get through them and talk about the stuff that's on everybody's lips at the moment. Ruben Amorim, Ruud van Nistelrooy, new era at Manchester United. You can subscribe, as I say, on Apple and Spotify for audio if you've not done so already, and on YouTube as well, the Promised Land of Manchester United podcast. You can follow me as well on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok, and also today on Blue Sky now, because that's what people are doing. And I'm also on Threads as well, at @_ScottSaunders. So look, I'll see how Blue Sky goes. So a lot of people have moved over there over the last few days. I will see what it's about. And we'll see. Follow me on there if you're on there, and I'll try my best to engage and that kind of thing. But yeah, today's episode is all about what's happening at the moment and all about your questions. And I thought I could tie everything together, your questions, and cover the topics that I wanted to talk about anyway. The Ruud van Nistelrooy, Ruben Amorim thing and the decision is what's happened over the last few days. Ruud came in, did a fantastic job of steadying the ship. 3 wins and a draw, all in home games. He got to sign off wonderfully with a nice win over Leicester and then say goodbye to the crowd at Old Trafford in a way that I don't recall him doing previously when he left as a player, because obviously he left in different circumstances at that point. So look, I'll come on to that a little bit later on. But yeah, I wanted to dig into your questions today. Ruud van Nistelrooy. I meant to say Ruben. Look, my brain is going because I just realized how much of a screw up I just did. But Ruben Amorim we've seen videos of him with the players, meeting the players at the training ground over the last few days. We've seen him rock up at Old Trafford and meet the new transfer team and the people running the club. We've seen them. And also at around 5 o'clock today, just after I recorded the first episode of When With No Sound, I saw pictures of Ruben Amorim at Old Trafford and in the press room, this kind of thing. getting ready to go. And he said, Ipswich will be ready. We'll be ready. So it's just over a week until we see Amorim and his United team in action for the first time. But I wanted to talk about him and expectations and everything that you guys have been asking. So I'll get into the questions now. First one from Mike Mitchell. Really appreciate the support, mate. I do see you. I've seen that you do follow a lot of what I do. I really, really appreciate the support. And your question is, was wondering what your expectations are for Amorim this season. I'm less interested in cup wins now after the last 2 years. I think there's less pressure. I do think we should push for the Europa League and top six, though. I think the squad is good enough for those. And yes, I'm pretty much with you, to be honest. Like, let me know if you're listening to this and you feel any different. But I'm pretty much with you there. I think expectations-wise, what I want to see out of Ruben Amorim here is impact. Positive impact, obviously. I want to see Manchester United not concede stupid goals. I want to see Manchester United defend solid. I want to see them difficult to break down at the beginning. These are all important things that need to be installed straight away, and I think can be installed straight away. Difficult to break down, not conceding stupid goals, not switching off at stupid moments, not conceding injury time winners to opposition teams, because that happened more under Erik ten Hag than it had ever happened before, I think. And look, you said it there, Mike. This squad is good enough for those. Yeah. You mentioned the push for the Europa League and the top six. So maybe qualifying for the Europa League is what you're talking about there. I think United should be looking to win the Europa League. They're in it now. And they got a win in midweek last week. And they should qualify. They obviously should qualify and get through, whether that's through the playoffs or through the top eight. And they skip around. But look, the United squad are good enough to go far in that competition. Well, they should be anyway. If they're coached right, if the attitude's right, they should be going far in that competition, because Tottenham are in it. There's other good teams in it, but there's no teams dropping into that competition from the Champions League this season. So for me, I think the pressure is off on cups. And my Siri's talking to me. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in the last hour or so. That was my Siri talking to me. Anyway, what I'm saying here is I think Manchester United are good enough to win the Europa League based on the talent they have in their squad. And I'm not saying that I expect them to win it. I'm just saying what I want to see is difficulty to not being easy to turn over and beat. Stop conceding stupid goals, and let's be a little bit more proficient in attack and score a few more goals, and then you should see a big uplift. And look, if Amorim's gone deep in European competition before with Sporting, he's beaten Arsenal in European competition previously. A couple of weeks ago, he smashed Man City 4-1 with Sporting in the Champions League as well, and he's taken this job now. And look, at the end of the day, if there's no teams dropping back from the Champions League into this competition, all the teams that are in this competition will be the teams in the competition at the end of this competition. And Tottenham are in there. They obviously done United over this season already. United were awful, and that was the game that I was done with Ten Hag's United. But look, this is a different team, different coach, different ideas, and I think we're conditioned to think, especially with media coverage and this kind of thing, that, oh, these players aren't very good. You know, oh, United need to spend 90 million on another striker or something like that. But there's so much room for improvement in this group of players. We're not going to know what this team needs until the players that United have currently are playing their best level. If they don't reach their best level, then maybe we'd be done with them. But it's up to Amorim, really, to install some of the things that I just talked about there and get the players that United have playing better and playing to their potential. That's the starting point. So that's what I want to see. I think that should mean that they go deep in the Europa League. And they should be favourites for this. They absolutely should be favourites to win this. If this team is playing well, they're good enough, I think. But obviously, no pressure on Amorim in the sense of, like, you have to win the Europa League this season. But I think getting Champions League is pretty important. And the Europa League is an avenue to the Champions League. And I will just say as well, Mike, you say top six. You're out of 4 points off fourth place. They're 13th in the league, but for this 4 points between them and fourth, that is not a big gap to make up. The problem is that there's loads of teams in the middle of that, taking points off each other. If Amorim can come in and install like a difficulty to beat this team and get them scoring more goals, even if it's like 1-0s or whatever at the moment. Or the important thing here is to just put together a run of consistency and to go unbeaten for a while, or maybe you drop a game here or there. You know, I'm not expecting United to go to Arsenal in at the start of December and beat them, obviously. But go in and give a good account of yourself. And let's put a consistent run of form together. Look, Ruud van Nistelrooy's come in and won his last three matches. I know that the United should be winning those matches, but United should be winning a lot of matches that they go into. And we've looked at this team over the last few years and thought, oh God, that's a bit dodgy, isn't it? They could do us. And then they end up doing it. And it's like, oh, well, these players aren't very good. But look, I think everybody looks at Ten Hag now and admits that he failed and it was the right decision. And you only have to make this comparison. This look at Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa. Steven Gerrard's about to get sacked from a team in Saudi Arabia that he's gone to after Aston Villa. He had them 18th in the Premier League at that point. Unai Emery comes in, and within 18 months, he turns them into a Champions League team with very few, really, like personnel changes. I know they spent a bit, but very few personnel changes. It just shows how much a good coach and like good ideas can improve a group of players. And we judge these players through a lens of what we've seen, obviously, and most people should do that. But it doesn't mean that they're bad players. There's things wrong in the camp, attitude, this kind of thing, yes. But it's on the coach and his coaching staff to get the best out of those players, and we'll see where we go. So look, I'm not even saying, I don't think top four's out of the picture for United. Maybe that's optimism. Maybe it is. But look, what United should be doing, I should be looking at these fixtures and going, 3 points. We should be getting 3 points there. Should be getting 3 points there. Okay, that's a dodgy one. Could lose or draw that. Worry. But beat all the teams. Put a process in place to beat the teams that you're expected to beat. Premier League is a difficult league and teams will take points off each other. But the expectations as a football club are that they're competing at the top and you've got to start winning games that you should be winning. So I suppose that's what I'm saying, is that I expect that to happen and I hope it happens really quickly. And I think there's a group of players there that will surprise a lot of people. Fresh start, you know, and like there are other things, maybe some things I'm saying there you don't agree with, because this player is not very good or this player is not very good. Things can change really quick in football, really, really quick. And that's kind of how I feel about it. So basically, I wouldn't say the expectations, but I would like to see United just be difficult to beat, have a style of play. I think that's quite important. And maybe they're the two expectations I would have, or like signs that United are moving in this direction and playing this way is the most important thing to start with. But I'm not saying they can't win a cup this season. I'm not saying the Europa League's out of the question. I'm not saying top four's out of the question. It might be a reach, but 4 points, not much at all. Anyway, let's move on to, I had a couple of questions from Andy United 99 and Neil Patel on the 3-4-3. Do we think he's actually going to play a 3-4-3 at United? I've got a gut feeling he won't have to wait Pochettino 10 days to find out I have a new hatred for international football, says Andy. And Neil says as well, I really appreciate all the support and all of the replies and everything. Neil, thank you very much. How does he play a 3-4-3 and what happens to Bruno Fernandes in that? I'm confused as to how you set up with this manager. So right. So Andy says, do we think he's actually going to play a 3-4-3? Yes, I do. I think he will. I'd be kind of disappointed if he doesn't. I've got to be honest. I think what United have is a group of defenders, really, and especially three first-choice centre-backs that actually can fit into a back three. I think that three picks itself. Lenny Yoro, Hopefully he's back soon. He's back in training. Hopefully he's ready for the Ipswich game. Matthias De Ligt and Lichan Martinez. Luke Shaw's on his way back. Could Luke Shaw be considered a left centre back? Harry Maguire is still there. Johnny Evans is still there. Then there's other players like Victor Lindelof. I've always said this about Victor Lindelof, right? I think we've written him off completely as a success at United. He's not going to be. He's definitely the type of player that I could see going to join like a big club in Italy and being one of the best defenders in that league, or like really, really impressive. You only have to look. Matteo Darmian left United to go to Parma. All I ever saw of Matteo Darmian was just him lumping the ball up in the air. That's all I remember of him. He's gone to Italy, joined Parma, and now he's playing for Inter. And Inter are like, you know, winning leagues and this kind of thing, and beating Arsenal in the Champions League. And yeah, he's not playing all the time. But, you know, I think Lindelof is that type of player for me. So maybe he fits the right centre-back position. Then you've got like 7 centre-back options. That's not even including like, could Mazraoui play as right centre-back? I don't know. But I think the back three is a thing. I think, to be honest, the spine of that team picks itself. Onana in goal, Yoro, De Ligt, and Licha. Mamadou Ugarte and Kobbie Mainoo in midfield. And then up front is Rasmus Højlund. I think he's got a big chance to stake a claim and impress. And we'll see. There's a comment that I'll get to a little bit later about Rasmus Højlund, but I think that team is pretty solid and picks itself. But there's a lot of question marks around who plays at wing back, who plays in the 10 positions. And Neil asked there, where will Bruno Fernandes play? I think he will occupy one of those positions behind the striker, personally. I think that's maybe the best place for him. Don't think he'll be featuring the midfield too. I see him as more of a Pedro Goncalves type, maybe from the Sporting team. Look, it's all about getting Bruno Fernandes in the right areas to play. And Rob used to say this a hell of a lot. Like, I want to see Bruno in the 10 position and between the lines and finding the right pass. He played a pass for a goal recently, a little back heel. And that's the kind of thing that you want to see a Bruno Fernandes in those positions. But I think, yeah, I see Bruno Fernandes in one of the two positions behind the 10. And I think that's probably the best place for him. But what qualities Ruben Amorim will want in those positions may change between game to game, or maybe that's my Siri. Take this watch off. Sorry. If my Siri is talking to me, if you
save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Watching this on YouTube, this is my watch, and that's twice now that watch has talked to me during this episode, and hasn't happened all day. Anyway, Bruno Fernandes, I think, will pick up one of those positions. And then what happens? I think Ahmad could really fit in as one of those like neat and tidy players with really good feet, quick off the ground, low center of gravity, like good quality. We've all wanted to see Ahmad get a chance, and he's really popular. I'd like to see him get a chance. But then what happens in the wing back positions? I don't know. Maybe there's chances for players to, you know, stake a claim. It depends on attitude. Luke Shaw is coming back, and maybe he fits in there. There's another comment, actually, which is from Rugby Itch, avid listener of the podcast. My one question is, who do you think Amorim will play in the left wing back position, as I'm uncertain if Shaw is fit enough to play, and personally don't want Garnacho or Rashford in that position. And then my future targets are Alphonso Davies, Ryan Aitnori, and Anthony Robinson, you said. First, thanks for the support and for being an avid listener. I hope you didn't pick up the silent episode of this podcast a little bit earlier. But look, I think, like I say, I think the spine of that team pretty much picks itself. And maybe I'm wrong, but Luke Shaw will be an interesting one, because I suppose it makes the most sense that he is the left wing back. But obviously we know his fitness issues. We know he could play a few games and then break down with an injury and then be out for another 3 months. And that's completely possible because that's been the trend with Luke Shaw for a long time now. But I think the good thing and the exciting thing about this is we may all be a little bit not wanting to see like Garnacho in the wingback position, or some people might be. We don't want to see different things. We want to see like flying wingers and this kind of thing, because that is what United have typically done in the past and typically had in the past. But I think what I want to see here and why I'm excited in a sense is because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, and that's exciting. I don't know if Ruben Amorim's going to turn Antony into like an amazing wingback. Maybe that happens if Antony has the right attitude. I actually think Antony has a lot of qualities that can fit into this system. Maybe not a popular thing to say, but I do, honestly. He's typically played with, I think it's Nuno Santos, as a flying wide left wing back, and had on the other side an inverted right wing back, more recently anyway. We'll see what he does. It depends on the personnel. Maybe he switches that over and you get a Garnacho at right at left wing back, and he's right footed and he inverts, and Dalot is the player on the other side that gives you the width. Maybe he goes full width and he tries to stretch the pitch as wide as possible, goes with two natural footed players on each wing as the wing backs who have really good energy, and they can stretch the pitch, they can stretch defenses out, create enough space for the two tens in the middle to, or create enough opportunity for those players to create enough space for themselves to supply the striker. So hopefully we see that. And I think, I suppose I just wanted to say this. I'm open to anything, man. Honestly, I'm open to anything. Appreciate if you don't want to see Garnacho or Rashford in that position. I think we might see Garnacho in it, personally. I have a different idea for Rashford, which I'll get to in a second. But yeah, I mean, the important thing here is what we need to see is different attitudes from these players. I don't want to, if a player doesn't want to play wing back and is like, no, I want to play in the 2-10 positions, or I want to play up front, and gets in a huff about it, maybe you're not cut out to be here. You know, I want to see players doing whatever they bloody can to get in this team. I'll play in whichever position the manager want, the head coach wants me to. I think that's the kind of attitude that we need to see out of these players. And look, it'll work for some. It won't work for others. We might see magic come out of players that we never expected to see out of these players previously, in positions we never expected them to succeed in. Maybe. Maybe that happens. But that's exciting to me because I don't know. You know? I'm sure Ruben Amorim has his own ideas. But just going back to these comments here, Rugby Itch says, my future targets, Davis, Aitnori, and Robinson. I'll just touch on these. I would not get too amped up about Alphonso Davies. I think he ends up in Spain, personally, out of contract at the end of the year. United can obviously try. I didn't think United would sign Lenny Yoro. You know, I never thought they'd pull that off. So maybe I'm wrong, but Real Madrid generally are the kings of the free transfer in the recent markets. And I'd be surprised if he didn't end up there, and he didn't end up at Barcelona. I think he ends up at Madrid. And for what it's worth, I think I've expected this to happen for a long time as well. Real Madrid picking off Alphonso Davies and Trent Alexander-Arnold on free transfers in the same summer. Goodness me. You know, that there's every chance that that could happen. And what a way to upgrade your wing-back positions, you know, with two of the best in the world, or your full-back positions. But yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about Davies. Robinson, I like. I'm not entirely sure he's the right fit and the right profile for that left wing back position. Just strikes me as a little bit more defensive. Aitnori, though, is a really strong option. I really like him. I think he could be a good fit. Maybe could be cheap as well, depending on how well or how bad Wolves do this season. They've showed a tendency recently to sell players a lot cheaper than I expected. So, Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Ike Nori wouldn't be a bad shout at all, but I think the main thing for me is, instead of looking at transfers, you know, I need to do this and the transfer team need to do this and like look at it for next summer. Let's see what the players that United have can do. Let's see if there's a fix or some miraculous transition that we see in one player. I just mentioned Antony, maybe Garnacho or something like that. Turns out that they're a brilliant wing back because they've had the right attitude. They've got the right skill set and they've come in. They've absolutely killed it because they want to play for Manchester United and they want to give their all for the team. They want to pick up new skills and they want to make it. Let's hope that that happens. We had another comment, actually, which kind of brings me... It's the same-ish thing from AWF93 on a recent show. Touching on what I said earlier, I agree the position and the team isn't as bad as it looks. Amorim's 3-4-3 actually suits a lot of our team quite well. Can see Højlund thriving and turning into the striker we know he can be. I agree with that. Completely do. And... look, people are looking at Victor Gyökeres and thinking, God, this guy is amazing. And I agree. He really is. Such a clean strike of the ball. Unbelievable. If you've not seen enough of Victor Gyökeres recently, it's so satisfying to watch him like strike a ball. He hits it so hard and so clean. It's amazing. And he's got good stature, good speed, strength, everything you want in a modern striker. But look, you can get hung up on signing players for 60, 70, 80 million. And maybe that is still a thing down the line for United. Maybe he does go back and get him because he's tailor-made for the Premier League, in my opinion. But let's see what you can do with these players. Let's see if we can develop Rasmus Højlund into a proper striker. Because I think he's got the tools, personally. I think the way that Ten Hag has played with Højlund previously has not suited Højlund's game at all. And Højlund has had to pick up different skills. But Højlund's game, for me, I think, mirrors what I've seen out of Gyökeres. Like, I think that is the perfect role for him, really. If they keep him out of the game a little bit, do all your build-up with all your players in the midfield and you stretch the pitch wide with your wing-backs, work the ball in. But the important thing is put chances on a plate for your striker. Put them on a plate for him. And that's what Sporting did so well, Victor Gyökeres. And I think, look, if one of the goals that Gyökeres scored against Man City was because City were pushing up so high, they transitioned it from back to front really quickly. And he was played in like from like just past the halfway line, clean through on goal, and just had to push a player off and finish. I'd love to see Højlund in that position because I think that's Højlund's best position. That's the best way to utilize Rasmus Højlund, not having him come back, drop in, back to goal, having to like do a neat little turn or, you know, pop off a pass or something like that to somebody else to get the wide players having the chances because that was the way that United played previously. I want to see Rasmus Højlund getting chances for himself and having him gobble up those chances. Developing that like clinical, clean edge, killer instinct in front of goal, because I think he's got it in him. He's got the physical qualities that Gyökeres has. He's got the speed. He's got the strength. He's a lot younger, so maybe he's not quite there yet, and he needs to fill out a bit and learn the game a little bit more. But there's so much potential in him. Honestly, I think maybe I'm being super positive, and the fact that I haven't seen United play under Ten Hag for a few weeks is making me delusional again. I don't know, but look, I think United signed Højlund for a reason because they liked him. And whatever the politics behind that transfer was, I think we've seen a player playing in Serie A previously that has raw tools to be able to be a success in the Premier League. And to me, I want to see a coach unlock that. I'll call up this stat. So an email from the CIES Football Observatory. You've probably seen this floating around on Twitter. They put a bunch of like statistics together and tables and this kind of thing. I had an email earlier this week saying, this week's weekly post presents the Y-Scout data on shots taken and conceded from the danger zone, the central rectangle of the penalty area, by teams in 63 leagues around the world. With 6.9 more shots from this zone attempted than conceded per game, Ruben Amorim and Port and Portugal's Sporting CP have the best record in absolute terms ahead of the likes of Man City, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Monaco and Atalanta. So that there tells me, and we've seen it in Sporting's games themselves this season, they score a lot of goals, they create a lot of chances, and the goal of this team and the way that they play football is to get the striker to have as many chances as possible. There's no reason why Rasmus Højlund can't absolutely thrive in this team. And if you're getting Højlund turning 20 goal seasons, do you need Victor Gyökeres? Do you need to spend that money, or can you go somewhere else and like address something else first? That's what this season is about for me. The rest of the season is finding out how to utilize and make the best of the players that are in this United team at the moment. And you got a new coach with new ideas, and let's see, because there's a lot more potential than you're seeing in this team. Time to unlock it, you know? And it was also touched on there in that message from AWF93. Can see Højlund thriving. And Rugby Itch mentioned Rashford. Yeah, that's what I wanted to touch on. So Marcus Rashford, where does he fit in this? So maybe the right position for him is one of the two positions behind the striker. Don't really think he's technical enough. Maybe he is, but like, I think Rashford thrives in one-on-ones and maybe not the kind of intricate little spaces that I think these players are going to get in the tens. I think Ahmad is particularly a good option in that area. I don't think the wing-backs is going to be an option for Rashford, but I was just talking about Rasmus Højlund. We don't see Marcus Rashford as a centre-forward. I think lots of managers have tried it, and lots of managers have decided, hey, Marcus is a left-winger, and I think the player himself actually prefers that, but there's not a left-winger in this team if he plays the way that we're expecting him to play, Amorim. If United end up playing, as I mentioned there, with not too much focus on the striker in build-up play, and instead setting the table, essentially, giving the striker chances to finish, running on to through balls, this kind of thing, timing his runs to be offside, putting him through one-on-one, in behind defences, and allowing the pace to come out. Like that goal I just mentioned that Gyökeres scored against Man City the other day. Like, if Marcus Rashford is one-on-one with the player in a foot race, you bet on him. Of course you would. Maybe if it's a 1-1 with like a strength battle, maybe he loses out there. But look, I think Rashford has, if he's in the right moment, he definitely has a coldness in front of goal. He does that celebration, obviously, where he's, you know, points to his head. His head's in it. And all I'm saying is I would not be surprised, and I wouldn't make him first choice in this position at all. I think this is made for Højlund personally. But Marcus Rashford as that striker, not involved too much in build-up and instead getting the ball pushed through to him through the lines, through defences to kind of gobble up chances. Maybe that's an option. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe we never, ever see it and he ends up with right wing back. I don't know. But like, that's the joy of it. I'm enjoying thinking about things a little bit differently and enjoying trying to predict what he's going to do. But we're not going to know what he's going to do until we start seeing United moving forward, and maybe he says something in a early press meeting or something like that. But yeah, let's see, you know, it's quite interesting to think about that kind of thing. And Nick Ahmed says, question for the pod, why are we so poor at free kicks? Bruno's against Leicester was the first we'd scored into it, 928 days, which is mad. That is mad. Previous one was Ronaldo v Norwich in April 22. Given that we don't score many goals as it is, we need to do better when free kick opportunities arise, and Paul Jackson adds, and corners as well. United have been awful at corners for a long time and awful at free kicks for a long time. But I will say that Bruno Fernandes free kick, it's funny how it works, isn't it? When United go in one game under the manager that's going to get sacked, miss an open goal, Bruno Fernandes misses a header from 6 yards, the ball doesn't go in, and then it does, and then United give away a penalty, which this week obviously has been gone on, mic'd up, And exactly the thing that everyone thought was going to happen, oh, we got that one wrong, has happened. They've admitted it was wrong. Great. Thanks, guys. But why are United so bad at free kicks? I don't know. That one was a deflect, what I was saying there. United had a bad day at West Ham. And then the next game, they have a free kick and it deflects off the wall and goes in. Like, it's funny how luck and football works, isn't it? It's funny. It was a bit of tension, like, just drained out of the team at that point. And, you know, you get your rub of the green in that game. But, yeah, generally, Nick, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. I'd always like to see Christian Eriksen have a bit of a crack at free kicks, but I think there's a hierarchy in this, and Bruno Fernandes obviously kind of stands over a lot of them because he scored recently. Maybe he's going to keep getting them. But corners as well, there's new coaches coming in. Let's see if something better can be made of the corners, because we all know that United need to do better. But look, I think a lot of that's down to what happens on the training pitch. You see Arsenal and the way that they take set pieces with their infamous or famous set piece coach, as it now is. You know, United need to buck their ideas up there as well. They need to improve in a hell of a lot of places, and that's another one. Set pieces is quite important. Anyway, let's move on to the eye rule. Recent comment. There have only been a couple of pods I've actually been able to watch, as they are sensible, and yours is one of them. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. The garbage being spouted on a lot of them is draining. I'm not going to say anything on that. We know the problems and know that time will be needed. Some of the players will not be able to change with the times and will be on their way out, no doubt. It will be up to them to prove otherwise if they want to stay. Just touched on a lot of that. Really appreciate the comment, mate. Thank you very, very much. And I agree with you on some of the players won't be able to change. And it's about finding out over the next few months which players can and can't do it. You know, United are going to have to move along and help the squad out and give them the platform, you know, give them the platform that they have to make the best out of themselves. If they don't make the best out of themselves, or the best of themselves is not good enough, then they shouldn't be here. And look, I include this. I'm just going to jump back to I think it was the Rugby Itch's question about Alphonso Davies and Anthony Robinson and Ryan Aitnori. I think I just wanted to touch on this. Like, Aitnori might be a really strong contender to come in, but I would bring in the kinds of things like some of these players might not be able to change with the times, would be on their way out. But other players equally will surprise us. I want to see players from the youth team. I want to see maybe Harry Amass given a chance at left wing back if he's ready, if that's the role for him. Alvaro Fernandez was recently sold, and I think people were sad to see him go. And United have a buyback option on him. United can save themselves a hell of a lot of money on new signings if they just make the most out of the tools that they've got. And yes, as the eye rule says, we know the problems and know that time will be needed. We do, of course. And it's important to recognize that, but United do have a period now where we need to see improvement in performance. And if players, now is the time for players to step up if they want to stay. Whichever role is asked of them, get on board or get out. But I think that's the way that we should look at it. And hey, maybe we might see some kind of miraculous turns around and see that players can do things we never thought they'd be able to do. But yeah, there's plenty of time left in the season for things to turn around. We're all conditioned to thinking that United are as bad as we've seen them under the last 18 months. Maybe not necessarily the case. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Final question of the show, because I'll be leaving soon. Sondra. I hope I pronounced your name right, but I see you on all my posts, or a lot of the posts that I post on social media, on X, I think it is. Really, really appreciate all the engagements, all the support, all the nice things you say. Thank you so much. Your question recently was, would like to know your thoughts on whether you think Ruud van Nistelrooy should be kept on by Amorim, pros and cons. Now, obviously, the decision's been made about Ruud van Nistelrooy, and I want to finish the show today on this. Ruud van Nistelrooy came in as the assistant. I think people could... especially if things went badly for Ten Hag, could see straight away that Van Nistelrooy would be maybe jumped into that position as interim or like the go-between, maybe with a chance of doing an Ollie and getting the job full-time. I don't think that would ever have happened with the new football planning structure that's in place. Shows, by the way, the difference in how that was communicated swiftly and not left a chance. Oh, look, Ollie's done really well. Let's give him a job. You know, there's actually planning with this team. They've gone out and got one of the most promising young coaches in world football. So good stuff. But on Van Nistelrooy, United were clear with him that it was an interim period, and then obviously quite clear with him the following day that after the final game with Leicester, that it was the right decision for him to move on, and that was a decision made. And to answer your question, I think that was what the right decision was. And if there's a new head coach coming in and he's bringing an entire coaching team with him, you might as well, if you've looked at this sporting team and you thought, I like the way that they play football, I want to see that adapted in this league, you pick it up, you put it in and put it on this group of players, and you see what differences there might be, and you see the things you need to work out, the differences in personnel that you need to make and this kind of thing. But if Ruben Amorim's going to be given a chance to do his best, he needs to be given the tools to do it. And I think, unfortunately, that means all of his coaches need to come with him, but it unfortunately means that there's no room for sentiment. And as much as Ruud van Nistelrooy is a legend of the club, did a fantastic job in the interim period and had a great final win, final send-off, an amazing moment with the fans at Old Trafford after the game the other day as well, and wanted to stay. He made no secret of wanting to stay. But unfortunately, like, there's no room for sentiment here, and I think it's the right decision that he has ended up going. And look, everybody wishes Ruud van Nistelrooy all the very best. I'm sure he turned down Burnley in the summer, the manager's job at Burnley. I'm sure he will pick up a job. And I'm sure that the last period of games will do him no harm at all in picking up a new job. And like, maybe he wanted the United assistant manager's job, but it just, to me, it wasn't the right fit. One big criticism we've had of United over the last few years is, you know, oh, he used to play here, let's keep him around. Or he used to coach here, let's keep him around. And there's no room for sentiment anymore, unfortunately. I think you just need to get on with it. You need to do what's best for the club. The dynamics it would have created would have been a little bit weird. Like, what's Ruud doing? You know, there's a coaching structure at Sporting that works, and United have just picked it up and put it in. And they need to work out the kinks. And let's see how it goes. But I think that's where I stand on Ruud van Nistelrooy. And like, it's the right decision for me. It's sad, but it's necessary. And I think that's the right way to go with it. Thank you for all your questions today. Really, really appreciate that. Sorry if you've got a notification to start with that this podcast was out and it came in with no sound. I will upload again now. My error, my fault. I'm an idiot. Sorry. Look, subscribe to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. If you haven't already, please do. The Promised Land of Man United podcast. And on YouTube as well. The Promised Land of Man United podcast is where you can find us or find me. And social media at @_ScottSaunders on all the usual ones. I'm also on Blue Sky as well. So if you're on there, I'm on there. So give me a follow and I'll figure out over the next few days, see what it's like. And look, we haven't heard from Ruben Amorim yet. We've seen pictures. We've heard a line, like in a media report today. But he's not done any official interview as I record this with United. If he does, I'll be back. But I'll wait till early next week to kind of come back with another pod. Or wait until the time that he does drop that interview and he's working up and running with United. And obviously then the game is next Sunday, so I'll definitely be back before that. But yeah, next few days, hopefully, Ruben Amorim can get into the job and we can see some positive things in his first game in charge as United head coach. But look, thanks to everyone who sent questions in, who's been listening or watching, and thank you for the support as well. Sorry again for the error at the start, but hopefully it shouldn't happen again. And anyway, thank you very much. I will see you guys soon for another Promised Land podcast. Until next time, everyone, I'm Scott Saunders from the show. Thank you very much.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.